Well, on today's show, we have Dr. Dan O'Brien. He is an expert in viruses, and we're going to talk about the coronavirus with him, what steps should be taken, how this is playing out here in the United States. He's a chief medical officer for many healthcare startups, and he's also an award-winning scientific and academic leader. And he's got the knowledge, and he's going to talk to us and answer many of our questions about all phases, the stock market, how we live our lives, this virus itself, how to handle it, the whole kit and caboodle on today's episode. Here we go. You know, I can't help it. I am upset. I'm upset at this Trump president guy under the circumstances with this coronavirus. He's making statements that this is a hoax put on by the Democrats, that this is Obama's fault. It's the fault of other countries, even though we have no testing kits here for people that want to be tested and need to be tested. He takes responsibility for nothing. I'm trying to understand what goes on in this guy's mind. But unfortunately, I can't shove my head up my ass that far.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Did you like that opening, huh? I mean it. All right. Welcome to the show. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Hi, how are you? Good, fine. That's wonderful. I got to tell you, a very upsetting conversation I had yesterday with an old friend. I mean, not old in age, but a friend that I've had for quite some time. And she really seriously believes that the coronavirus thing is indeed a hoax. It doesn't actually exist. It's just the flu, and that's all it is. And this has been constructed by some international conspiracy in order to make us nervous, to ruin our economy. And I said to her, "Oh my God, what the hell's wrong with you?" And she stood her ground. She said, "No, that's what I actually believe, and that'll be the case, and you'll see that's what it actually is." Oh, you're scaring me. More than anything, you're scaring me. And this is what solidified in my head with through this conversation. It's not Trump that's dangerous. It's not even the virus that's dangerous, although it is. It's people like her that's dangerous, who actually promote these incredibly ridiculous theories, and people actually believe this stuff. Do you know there's still an organization that thinks that the world is flat? I mean, seriously. That's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. They walk amongst us. As long as you're coming up with virus testing, come up with like mental testing for these kinds of people, including the White House guy who's renting the place temporarily. Isn't it interesting? Every time Trump speaks about the virus, the stock market crashes. And then when you get an expert who talks about what's really going on, as far as, yeah, be careful, this is serious, then the market goes up because they're listening to somebody that makes sense. It's odd, isn't it? All right. I know you didn't come here to talk about the virus. I know. But let's face it, the what's developed overnight, just overnight, has been incredible. In many states across the country, I would venture to say most of them, schools are closed all over the place, especially on a Friday in order to clean out all the schools for opening on Monday. But a good percentage of schools across the country are closed for weeks. And that's becoming the thing. Museums are closing. No more NBA for a while. No more sports of any kind for a while, where any people gather. In many situations, the sport itself suspended where the players won't even play. There are no sports. Sports, professional sports and college sports, have been suspended and stopped. When does that ever happen? Boston Marathon, not happening. St. Patrick's Day's parades across the country, not happening. Yeah, it's a little more than you thought. Museums closing, libraries closing. Yeah, it's starting to happen. Is that terrifically bad? It's something to adjust to and a problem for many people. But it demonstrates how serious this thing is. I know in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like this where life has had to be changed so drastically for everybody. But, you know, we'll make it through. We'll make it through. Things are actually getting better in China. So maybe there's ends to these things. They live themselves out, perhaps. But the problem is, and obviously in Europe, they're going through it heavy right now. Italy, totally shut down. We're just at the beginning of this thing. Hopefully it won't get much worse. But it will get worse before it gets better. That's a fact. And if you have a job, in the back of your mind, you got to wonder, are they going to lay me off for a period of time? Because my job won't be making any money. Am I going to be laid off? At least I can stay home with my kids. That's the other problem. You have kids. Schools are closed, easily closed, either for cleaning or because they discovered that one child had the virus and could pass it on quite easily to their parents, to their grandparents, where the illness becomes quite significant and sometimes fatal. So we don't know how many cases we have in this country because there are no testing kits. Trump said 2 weeks ago to the nation, we have enough testing kits, if anybody wants to get tested, you can be tested. Lie, not the fact. But we'll have them by next week. Next week is here. Lie, not the fact. So you can't trust what the guy says. And here's why. Because when the stock market tanks, as it is, Trump's credibility and Trump's effectiveness goes down the toilet with a major flush. Trump knows that if everybody knew just how possibly dangerous this thing was, and if the numbers actually came out as to how many people are actually affected by it, then Trump's credibility and his stock market miracle are gone. Trump performs for one reason and one reason only, and I use the word perform in its greatest sense. He does it for one reason only, for himself, for his grandeur, for his success, for his power, and for his reelection. And anything that happens that is bad is never his fault. It's somebody else's. That's the man that's in there. We were so lucky for 3 years not to have a major crisis. Came close with the North Korea thing. Trump took care of that in the long run. Didn't make a damn bit of difference, but temporarily made us feel better. 3 years, nothing really, really horrible. Only horrible things were the things that he created, that he made horrible. At the border, caging children, tariffs, making tariff deals, alienating this country from others. Yeah, those were his problems that he had to deal with. This problem, though, is something we were lucky. Now here is this virus problem, this pandemic. Now we're not so lucky. Now we turn to the president. And what do we see? Nothing. Nothing. This man had the ability from the outset to say, I'm cutting through all the red tape. We're not going to wait for bureaucratic acceptance of a test kit for this virus. We know the virus is coming. We want to be ready for it just in case. So we're ordering millions of test kits. They were available through the World Health Organization. The president turned them down saying, we're not going to have that kind of problem here. Why get into it? Why spend the money? Why get into that stuff? Don, you fucked up. You could have had all the test kits you wanted by now, but you didn't. When this thing started to get serious, you could have said, I'm dropping all the red tape requirements, test kits, vaccines, now. He didn't do it. He kept saying, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It'll go away as soon as the warm weather comes. That's why the stock market tanked, because there's no leadership. That's why. That's why. All right, that's all I'm going to talk about right now. That's your update. Everything's closed. And if you thought you weren't going to do any social distancing, you almost have no choice, because things are closing. Have you been to the supermarket recently? Holy crapola. Just try to get a roll of toilet paper. My supermarket down the street this morning opened at 7 a.m. I figure I'll go down there. I'll get some supplies. I'm not going to be an idiot. Hey, you know, if I don't need to hunker down and I don't need the supplies, I'll use them up over time. So it's fine. I'll always use toilet paper. I've always got to wipe my ass. I can't think of a situation where I couldn't wipe my ass. And if someday comes and I can't wipe my ass with toilet paper and I don't need the toilet paper, plenty of people will gladly take the toilet paper from me. It's a commodity that will never go bad or unwanted. I'll buy some toilet paper. Went down to my local supermarket. 7 o'clock in the morning. I've been there before. It's a ghost town. I'm the only person there at 7 o'clock in the morning. Who goes to the supermarket at 7 o'clock in the morning? I do. Today I went at 7 o'clock in the morning. Packed. Couldn't find a parking space, not a roll of toilet paper. No antibacterial soaps, no hand sanitizers. No gallons of water. I don't know what the deal is with the water is. No one said they're going to shut off the water. I mean, I don't understand where that's coming from. But anyway, frozen foods starting to dwindle. I mean, it's like, what? The zombie apocalypse? No. Just stay in your house for a while. Is that so bad? Well, Ron, I got to work. I got to have the job. I get that. That's the problem. That's the big problem. That's a gigantic problem. That's a gigantic problem right there. You got to work, yet you may get laid off because there's nobody doing the thing. And if you get sick and you stay home, you got no money. So you're in a problem. You're in a problem. And that's where the government should step in temporarily to get us through this thing, because this thing won't last forever. We're going to get out on the other side. The question is, in what condition will we be in when we get to the other side? But we will get to the other side. So you need the leadership. Who's taking up on the leadership? Not the president. Not the government. It's your local government. It's your towns and your school officials and your governors and your mayors. They are taking the ball and running with it effectively. They are showing leadership. It's companies that are saying, work from home. Don't come in if you feel sick. It's companies that are taking the role by canceling trips and business meetings and that kind of thing. They can do more by making sure that their employees get paid even if they get sick, but not everybody is in that position. So you got to work those things out. But we can get through anything, but you need a leader. You need an honest, smart, intelligent, confident, trustworthy leader. And I've just named all the qualities that Trump doesn't have. And that's a shame. And as I said, we've been lucky for 3 years. This comes along. Now we're not so lucky. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more of the program.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something-like-cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Here's a question that's been asked of me. People think that I'm an expert on things. Seriously? Well, I have been around. It's not my first rodeo. I fall off the horse every time, but I've been to the rodeo. Yeah, I guess I know more than most of you do. I've been in the media all of my life. I interviewed thousands of people and doctors and all kinds of experts in every kind of field of everything. So I guess, yeah, sure, okay. So people think that, you know, they come to me for answers, and I say, well, you know, I'm not the president, thank God. But yeah, what is it? What's your question? What the hell's your question then? And the question is, okay, I'm not going to gigantic functions of 500 people or big conventions or anything like that, but can I go to the movies? And my answer is, I don't know. That's a judgment call. Would I go to the movies right now? You know what the answer is? No, there's no reason. Just about everything I can see in a movie theater, I can see on television in my house. Maybe not the new releases, but I will eventually in a couple of months, I'll see them on my TV. Is it worth it to get into crowds of people and we don't even know because there's no testing for the virus? We don't even know if someone has it or doesn't. Children don't show any symptoms, but they're carriers. Young adults might have a little sniffle or a cough. That could be allergies or it could be the virus. I don't even want the flu, to be honest with you. I've had the flu many times before. Not fun. Feel achy? Feel like you're going to die? I mean, you feel like you're going to die. You achy, sneezing, have trouble breathing, it settles in the chest, coughing, heart, not pleasant, sometimes really scary because you can't breathe well. I don't want the flu. I had my flu shot, did you? You didn't? That's not good for anybody. I don't know if the person sitting next to me is a carrier of the virus and is showing no symptoms or no symptoms yet. I don't know that. So is it worth taking the chance? And I think that's the bottom line question that every man and woman need to ask themselves, especially if they're parents or over the age of 40. You know, they were talking about senior citizens and the elderly being careful because they have so many underlying conditions. I know plenty of people in their 40s. They got some freaking conditions too. All kinds of things. Asthma, susceptible to colds, severe allergies, maybe some high cholesterol. How about obesity? How many Americans in their 30s and 40s are obese? That causes problems too. How many of you have immune system problems that you're not even aware of or that you say, well, I do get sick every once in a while. I do have some chronic conditions. Then you should be concerned too. And even if you don't have chronic conditions, who wants to go through this? Because if your wife gets it, you're going to get it. If your husband gets it, you're going to get it. If your kid gets it, you're both going to get it. You're all going to get it if one person in the household gets it. It's a spreadable kind of disease. So you must ask the question all the time, like, should I go to the movies? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Can you lay low for maybe a month or so, like maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks till we see exactly where we're at? Can you lay low? because that's what the country is doing. And that might make the difference, especially for you. So that's my answer to that. Here's something funny and weird. Because people don't want to shake hands anymore. And well, you shouldn't right now. There's no reason to. Again, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I don't like shaking hands. I don't like touching people. Serious? Give me a break. I know I have some friends that are huggers. Like, hey, come on here. Come on, Rog. I'll see you next time. Give me a hug. No, because that's just like the first step to having sex. And don't feel it right now. It's just a hug, Ron. What are you talking about? We're not talking about sex. It's a hug. I don't know when to let go. I don't know how hard I should hug. It's awkward for me. I don't like it. So instead of hugging and instead of shaking hands, they came up with not the fist bump, because that involves the hands. Don't be stupid there. They came up with the elbow bump, where you take your elbow and you bump somebody else's elbow. And I was thinking about this, and listen to me carefully. What are you told to do when you have to sneeze or cough? What are you told to do? Sneeze into your elbow. Cough into your elbow. Now, what are you supposed to do when you greet somebody? Touch elbows. Something's wrong. Something doesn't jive here. So the elbow greeting, the touching of the elbows, not good. Not good. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel who came up with the idea of bumping knees. Stupid, but perhaps. I've talked about this before, and actually this virus came out of China. People in China don't touch each other. They bow. They wear masks all the time. They always have because of pollution, basically. But they know. They know viruses come out of there on an annual basis. They wear masks all the time. By the way, masks don't do a damn thing. Don't do a damn thing. For pollution, yeah, a little bit. For viruses, not a damn thing. If you see somebody walking around with a mask on, it's because they're sick. And if they're trying to shield themselves from somebody else being sick, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. Okay, anyway, but in China, they bow. They bow to each other. Apparently, that hasn't worked. That doesn't stop things, but at least you're not touching the other person. Bottom line, there ain't much you can do about this. Wash your hands? Sure, but that's just a question of timing. You can wash your hands, touch something, and 2 seconds later your hands are dirty again. Is washing them a bad idea? No, it's a good idea. Hand sanitizer, not as good as washing hands, but not a bad idea. But bottom line, there's nothing much you can do about it except for avoid contact with other people. Or a breathing room, sitting on an airplane with infected people is not going to make your day. So my advice for a few weeks, lay low. Lay low. You want to buy some supplies to stock up on? Help yourself, make yourself feel better. You don't have to go out as much. Makes sense. Stockpiling like it's the zombie apocalypse. Or is this going to be some nuclear explosion or something? Or the sun's getting too close to the moon or whatever? Not necessary. Really not necessary. As a matter of fact, the less business there is during the week, the more power grid is available to us. So I don't think you need to stock up on water or anything like that, unless the water system becomes poisoned. Who knows? Look, it doesn't have to be as bad as it could be. If we all just act in an intelligent manner and just say to ourselves, for a short period of time, life is going to be different. It already is. Get used to it. It's not horrible. No one's kicking you out of places. Just chill out. Take it slow for a little while. Things happen. This is new to us. I don't think this has ever happened before here. It's happened in other places in the world. People die. That's not good. We don't want that to happen. So let's be careful. All right. I think I've outlived my entire stay with you. Okay. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know. Your choice. You know, this is one of the few things you can do that doesn't involve touching or being in large rooms with people. It's just you and me, and I'm not even there. I'm just coming through a speaker. You can't catch anything I have. I can't catch anything you have with this podcast thing. So become a friend. Come to me every weekday. And we'll get through this thing together, okay? Dr. Dan O'Brien joins us now. He's a medical futurist, physician, professor, and chief medical director of many medical startups, and he's also an award-winning scientific and academic leader. And we're talking about healthcare technologies and the coronavirus. I assume, doctor, that you've been in high demand for conversation.
Right. Yes, it's been a big topic in the country, of course.
Quite a bit. Every day there are developments that bring us closer to dealing with this. School closures all over the place, museums, libraries, concerts, just about everything being closed down in the name of social distancing. Doctor, is the American public starting to wake up to the realities of taking action here?
Yes, exactly. I think what we know is, you know, the coronavirus, it's new and it's evolving.
Yeah.
And this is just constantly changing with speed being everything.
Mm-hmm. In regards to the stock market, because, see, there's two reasons for people to be concerned. One is their health and the other is their money. The two of them affect each other. Not knowing that you have the money you had yesterday is not exactly a healthy thing either. Do you believe that the stock market is reacting to the fact that there is a virus, or the fact that the leadership isn't making us feel comfortable?
I'd have to go with your first choice.
Okay.
I really think that, yeah, it's obviously with this, it's affecting, you know, global markets.
Right.
You know, we've seen a decline in airline and cruise ship stocks, mm-hmm. and just how much we actually rely on the China economy. I would think hopefully in the next week that this would rebound with the stock market.
Yeah, yeah. I see. My thought is that if we all know that we have to deal with this and deal with it intelligently, that if there's a leadership that says, okay, you can all be tested so we can see exactly where we are if you feel that you should be tested. And that way the market and Wall Street can say, okay, now we know what we're dealing with. There seems to me to be a I don't know really what's going on kind of thing.
Right, yes. And we only have a few months data in regards to the coronavirus.
Right.
But with the flu, we've had years of data.
Right.
So I think as research and scientists are still trying to collect more data.
Yeah, yeah. And that would make, I know. I mean, usually when there's structure, we're more successful. Let's talk about social distancing. I went to the supermarket this morning, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, the place was packed. There is a reaction by human beings to start hoarding and hunkering down. No one told them to do this. What's the reaction there?
Right. I think two things. First of all, you know, do what you can, especially with hand washing and staying mm-hmm. home if you're sick.
Right.
But also follow the most recent information, you know, with reliable sources, the World Health Organization, the CDC, and also public health professionals. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
So I think following reliable sources is key, especially in that regards to right. stocking up on what you need to.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. A lot of people have been asking me this, and I don't know why they ask me this, but they do. They want to go to the movies. And they're saying to themselves, I'm not supposed to go to large crowds of people, but that's not that large. And can I not even go to the movies? And I say, that's your personal choice. It depends on where your head's at. What would you do if someone told you they were going to the movies? Would you say, not a great idea, or yeah, sure?
Right. I think to your point, just personal choice.
Yeah.
I think this is where personal decision really comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're taking the proper precautions, I would say, you know, with the coronavirus, most people will be fine.
Right.
But just taking proper precautions, maybe bring a hand sanitizer, being aware of your surroundings mm-hmm. is what I would recommend.
Okay. When we talk about the dangers to the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions, are we basically talking about respiratory complications?
Yes, respiratory, as well as those elderly that are immune compromised. So looking at things like diabetes, mm-hmm. malignancy, severe hypertension over, you know, long periods of years
right.
are some things to look at.
Yeah, okay. But that can happen to young people too. I mean, there are a lot of pre-existing conditions, people in their 30s and 40s.
Right. It's what we've seen, especially immunologically, is this inflammatory process with an elderly's immune system. It tends to wear out as they get older compared to the younger generation.
Yeah. Okay. Doctor, in your viewpoint, this is a coronavirus. I assume that your viewpoint is we're going to get through it. The question is just how, you know, but we're going to get through it. This is not the end of the line, though. These things can happen annually if so occurs. I mean, this is something I believe we should be prepared for all the time. Maybe this is a lesson to us.
Yes, absolutely. I think this will kind of teach us to be healthier moving forward. Mm-hmm. What we learned in the swine flu, the H1N1 in 2009, was there's a vaccine developed shortly after that. So I would think, you know, with the COVID-19, right, you know, the virus, that there'd be a vaccine shortly after.
Yeah. Why do you feel that there is no vaccine for this at this point? I know it takes over a year to release, but if it can be developed and it might work, why is there red tape involved?
Yes, I think, first of all, just making sure it's done properly, that uh-huh. we're kind of on the right side of science. Uh-huh. And the coronavirus has been around since the 1960s, but with this new virus, uh-huh. just how sudden that it came about, I think researchers and scientists, particularly at the NIH, are working diligently to make sure that there is a vaccine in the future, but I think they're just trying to do it the right way.
Okay. Bottom line, what advice would you give to anybody, whether they have a child who apparently don't have symptoms unless they have underlying conditions, but they're still carriers, which is kind of even worse because you don't know if someone has it or not. What advice would you give to people as we sit here today?
Right. That this coronavirus, it's new and evolving, and that most people will be fine. And if you think you have been affected or could have the virus, call your local hospital for help before going to the clinic or ER.
Right.
And third thing, just making sure with hand washing is crucial.
Okay. I know a lot of people socially are also concerned about, should you have something that you need done in the hospital, that the virus will cut down a number of beds, number of physicians, the amount of time it would take to be treated, because numbers could get so high. And that's where the medical emergency in this country might be taking place.
Yes, correct. You know, according to my colleagues, I mean, the hospitals are, you know, physicians aren't traveling, nurses, everyone's working, you know, right, overtime to, yes, ensure that there's enough people, mm-hmm, in the facilities.
Okay. And the bottom line is we'll get through it. It's just a question of when, how long. I believe that in China, I've read this morning that they're reopening Apple stores, that their incidence of infection has gone down drastically. Of course, that's a dictatorship where they can just stop people from going out, I guess. But still, there seems to start to be somewhat of a calming in the crisis over there.
Correct. I think we can learn a lot from China in regards to how fast they acted, especially in regards to quarantine individuals. And right, I think if we can implement the same process here, what we've learned over there,
yeah,
I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah. What's this thing about warm weather? Does that actually affect the spread of a virus?
That's what, you know, I've been reading, and that's, you know, what people have been discussing. There's not enough scientific evidence. Uh-huh. Normally, the flu season lasts between October to March.
Right.
So I think as we're still finding more data about that, but there has been talk about that warmer weather will, okay, kill off the virus.
Okay. So when Trump says when weather gets warmer, we'll be fine, it's not necessarily the case. Okay. You don't have to make political statements, by the way. That's not why I,
right,
asked you here.
Strictly scientific, right.
Right. Dr. O'Brien, is there a place people can go to get more information?
Yes. So the World Health Organization, the CDC, or your local public health professional, I really recommend just seeking out reliable resources in regards to information, as there's a lot, of course, through social media and the internet.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for your time today. It's been important to have you here, and I guess you don't have a website or anything, do you?
Not at this time.
Okay. Right. Someday you may have to.
Exactly. Right. I know.
Dr. Dano.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You take care.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there is your information. I am out of time for today. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I really wish you peace. Be careful now and stay aware.